So, hello guys, welcome to the Chuck D podcast, more than your normal martial arts gym. So, first ever episode, here we go. What we're going to be doing on this podcast is talking about the sports that we do at Chuck D, to give you a bit of an understanding about what we do and what goes on at the gym and stuff like that. We've got some nutrition tips and new kind of self-discovery things that as we look to personally get better. We do loads of like personal training and boot camps and stuff like that. We offer hypnotherapy and NLP work, so to hone the mind as well as the body. I'll be including some old like fight stories and stuff like that, time that I spent over in Thailand, and doing some like fight reports. We've got quite a big team now, doing boxing, mixed martial arts, Thai boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So yeah, there's quite a bit going on. First of all, a little bit about myself. I'm a degree qualified engineer. I'm a former 2 times world champion in Muay Thai, and I'm also a proud 3-stripe blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I've been doing martial arts since I was sort of 6, 7, 8 years old. I started judo when I was 8, down at the old Priory Judo Club. I used to train under a woman called Sheila Locker. She was, I think she ended up being like a 6th dan in judo. She was about 5 foot tall, and used to bounce everybody all over the mat. It was amazing, just to see the. I was in awe of the skills that this little grandmother that was about, like I say, about 5 foot tall could bounce fully grown men all over the mat. It was just the science behind it and the real subtleties of breaking balance and sweeping, supporting legs and hip throws and stuff like that. It was amazing. I did that from when I was 8 through till I was about 15. This complemented my rugby really well. I played rugby from being sort of 8 years old down at Hewith Rugby Club in York. Played amateur rugby through till I was about 15, 16, playing in the amateur ranks there. I played for York Boys in the under 11s, under 13s, under 15s, and then moved on to the academy at Radial York as it was then. Alongside kind of going with the rugby work, what that led me on to was working at Radial York, which is a professional rugby club. This gave me a very professional attitude towards training. Said that it was more than like your kind of 2-3 times a week going down training, playing with the rest of the team and stuff like that. It was a lifestyle. So it kind of came into dealing with your diet, nutrition, your strength and condition, all these other things which are almost kind of commonplace now in martial arts, and I was able to carry that over really well. So I had a very good foundation to start from. Alongside my rugby, I stopped doing judo when I was about 15. I started kickboxing when I was 16. And I did really well in that semi-contact kickboxing. It was like the points kickboxing stuff that people like MVP, Michael Venom Page, and some of the like top guys in the world are doing now. That's the background that they've come from. Yeah, I've been training for about 3 or 4 months with those guys. That was with a guy called Mike Clark. Mick the Kick was his nickname, and he used to teach me at the I think it was the Olympus, Olympus weightlifting club. They just had a spare room with a load of mats down and stuff like that. And after about 3-4 months having having like a game attitude from my rugby, being a little guy in the middle of a rugby pitch, I didn't mind getting in a bit of a ruck and having some rough play. So carrying over into kickboxing, carried over really well. I was never really kind of scared of a fight, even though I may have been smaller than a lot of the guys there. I was game as hell. So moving into kickboxing, into a weight category sport, I was like, hang on a minute, I'm fighting another little dude. That's brilliant. So it kind of set me up really well. So kind of facing that, like, the battles on the rugby pitch again. I played scrum half, so I was in the middle of the pitch against big prop forwards and second rowers and stuff like that. So it was a good experience. I came out with the old bump and bruise every now and again, but nothing kind of too serious. But then, like, moving into the kickboxing, moving into a weight category sport, I had such a kind of tough mentality, and I was never fazed by any of my opponents that stepped in front of me. But bearing in mind, this was still semi-contact kickboxing. You kind of got end up getting told off a few times and got disqualified from a couple of bouts for excessive contact. And in a combat sport, I found that really hard to kind of get my head around how you could be punished for hitting too hard. I mean, obviously now that kind of comes more into sparring and things like that. But in combat sports, a fight's a fight. So you have to be kind of aware of the sport that you're playing. It was only at this point when I was doing kickboxing. I turned up to training one day, and all the mats had disappeared. All the bags had gone and everything. And there were this other guy kind of turned up, this crazy guy with a little ponytail at the back, big beard, tattoos, all up the side of his neck, all down his arms. He was covered from head to toe. Big scary guy, and he told me that he did Thai boxing. I was like, oh, okay, well, what's the difference? And very bluntly, he just said, educate yourself. I was like, all right, okay, well, today's going to be an education. I'll come in with my kickboxing mentality, and he says, do you want to do some Thai boxing pad work? I was like, well, I'll give it a go. This guy was, or still is, Andy Wilby. His nickname's Mad Andy. He's a bit of a fruitcake. He's in like biker gangs and stuff like that. A bit of a crazy dude. But it was an experience. I went from this kind of flicking kickboxing style, tapping the pads. He was holding the pads and he was telling me, come on in, let's kick the pads. So I went over, I flicked it, and he was like, no, kick the pads. And so I was a bit taken back. I was like, well, I just have. He was like, no, I mean, kick it as hard as you can. And he coached me and he showed me that little difference between like a bit of a flicky kick and really kind of putting your shin into it. So this was my very first experience of Thai boxing. Went over, kicked these pads, and the goosebumps on my arm stood on end. I found something that I'd really kind of connected with, something where the benefit of all this kind of strength and conditioning work that I'd been doing with the rugby guys, and the benefit of my own personal mindset and approach to training, that's how it kind of carried on. I was hooked immediately. From there on in, it was like, where can I get more and more information? I mean, bearing in mind, this is before Facebook. This is probably before maybe Google. Well, yeah, I don't think Google was around at that point. So you couldn't even Google it. You couldn't even find anything on YouTube. It was just this like mystical warrior martial art. Ended up finding a video in a VHS video in HMV, and it was the Vale Tudo World Championships from 1992. It was a guy called the guy fighting on it was a guy called Marcos Ruas, a big Brazilian heavyweight guy, and he was fighting a Russian wrestler called Oleg Taktarov. Oleg Taktarov is now an actor in over in Hollywood. He plays the stereotypical Russian bad guy. He's got the snarl. He's got the look. He's got the accent. He kind of fits into that. But on this video, I saw a 30-minute bare knuckle Vale Tudo demolition, where everyone was expecting this Brazilian guy to take him to the floor, and it was a weighing up the advantages of the wrestling from the strong, stocky Russian, compared to the Brazilian jiu-jitsu slickness of Marcos Ruas. That's what everyone was expecting. What actually happened was this clinical striking demonstration, and that all the commentators kept on going on about was about his Muay Thai background. So this is again got me hooked, and I was researching more. I was trying to find out anything where I could going into the library, and I was like looking through the phone books and stuff like that, trying to find somewhere that would teach Muay Thai. I trained with Andy, but I was looking for more. Ended up finding Khao Loi. Khao Loi means flying knee, a flying knee gym. It was run by, or still is run by, Pierre Mahon. He's a Thai boxing coach from over in Harrogate. He's had a lot of champions. He comes from a very strong amateur pedigree, and he's a great coach. He actually comes from a skiing background. He coaches some very high level skiers. But these kind of communication models and these communication skills within that happen within coaching can be applied in any areas. So this was kind of like my experience and forging into my experience within Muay Thai. I started training down at the Barbican Centre in the centre of York, and moved on from there. I was training out of there. I had like two or three fights through those guys fighting amateur and having my first fight at a working men's club over in Wakefield. It was on one of Dean White's shows. I fought this short, stocky guy called Lee. I can't remember his second name now. A stocky guy from Cowbon in Liverpool. Well, my experience of Thai boxing up until that point had been on videos. I've been watching videos on VHS. I've got videos from Thailand and stuff like that. So I've kind of studied the style and the kind of format that was like expected. So I came out in the first round. I was expecting like slow kind of trying to work each other out. Second round, building up. Third round, you're kind of getting into the meat of the fight. Round four, you're still in the heat of the battle. By the end of the fifth round, you've kind of worked out that this is your what the result is, and this is my experience of what it was like over in Thailand. So at this point, I was like, okay, here we go. Comes in, bell rings, comes out again against this stocky little powerhouse, expecting this slow, steady start, and he steps in, and he goes jab, cross, left hook, all land clean on the button, clean on the end of my chin, drops me down. I was like, Jesus, that this doesn't feel like a sport anymore. It feels like what it was like on the rugby pitch. And I guess or we can just kind of get into it and just have a scrap. From there on in, it ceased to be a Thai boxing contest, and it was basically an all out war. It was a scrap, and I was trying to use as many Thai boxing techniques as I could, but basically swinging punches and grabbing hold of him and trying to knee him the best that I could. And I had a decent second round, and then in the third round, I probably won the third round, but because of the knockdown in the first, I obviously lost on points. That was a bit of a wake up call for me, to kind of pull my finger out and realise that this is a true sporting contest, and I have to take it seriously. There is a lot of aggression. It is very, very focused. It is a fight, and so you have to be ready from the off. So, and this was my first experience of Thai boxing. So, who'd have thought that this kid that stepped in and got dropped in his first 10 seconds of his very first Thai boxing match would go on to have 65 fights? And end up winning 2 world titles over in Thailand on the WPMF, fought out of Bad Company Gym alongside the likes of Liam Harris and Jordan Watson, James France and all the guys over there. So I was in a good kind of training position. I was in a good stable. I had a lot of great sparring, but I spent a lot of time training and fighting out of Jitty Gym in Bangkok. That was my home. That was where I trained all the time, and my coach, Jitty Damiram, and also Rajasak Savoripin. These two were kind of the two main Thai coaches that I had, alongside Richard Smith at Bad Company Gym, and as I was saying, Pierre Mahon and Andy Wilby when I first started off in this kind of embryonic stage. So we're going to get into more of these like fight stories and stuff like that, but yeah, I got kind of made redundant from the railway in 2008. I started like personal training and doing like holistic development through till 2011, at which point, by this point, I'd just got married. I was personal training. My wife was pregnant. We had our first kid in 2011. I also opened my own gym in 2011. It was it was kind of like a numbers thing. It was 11-11-11. 11th of November 2011, we opened up the first Chok D Academy, and kind of gone from strength to strength from there. If anyone's got any kind of questions or things that you'd like me to talk about, then please send me a message or drop me a message on Facebook, on Instagram. You'll find me on Instagram under Chok D Academy, Twitter handle Chok D Academy. I'm on Snapchat, you'll find us under Rich Cadden or Chok D Academy on Facebook. So hope you enjoyed this quick little introduction, and we're going to be getting involved with loads of other stuff. Like I say, with all the kind of sports updates and nutrition and personal training deals and boot camps and things that we've got going on. So, keep in touch, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much. I'll speak to you soon. Bye. The
podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.